لقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه فقال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره فقال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره إني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم عظيم.
Indeed, we sent forth Noah to his people, and he said, O my people, serve Allah, you have no other God than Him. Indeed, I fear for you the chastisement of an awesome day. Indeed, we sent forth Noah to his people. This historical narrative opens with an account of the prophet Noah, peace be upon him, and his people. For the people of Noah, peace be upon him, were the first to drift away from the right way of life, which was followed by the prophet Adam, peace be upon him, and his descendants. God therefore sent Noah, peace be upon him, to guide and reform them. In light of the Quranic allusions and biblical statements, it seems certain the people of Noah, peace be upon him, inhabited the land presently known as Iraq. This view is also supported by inscriptions of pre-biblical times discovered in the course of archaeological excavations in Babylonia. Those inscriptions contain almost the same account which is recounted in the Quran and the Torah. The locale of the event is the vicinity of Mosul. Kurdish and Armenian traditions also corroborate this account insofar as they mention that it was in this area that Noah's ark anchored. Some relics ascribed to Noah, peace be upon him, are still found in Jazirat ibn Umar, situated to the north of Mosul and on the frontiers of Armenia in the vicinity of the Ararat mountain mass. The inhabitants of Nakhchivan believe to this day that their town was founded by Noah, peace be upon him. Traditions similar to the story of Noah, peace be upon him, are also found in classical Greek, Egyptian, Indian, and Chinese literature. Moreover, stories of identical import have been popular since time immemorial in Burma, Malaya, the East Indies, Australia, New Guinea, and various parts of Europe and America. This shows clearly that the event took place at some point in the dim past when men lived together in one region, and it was after Noah's flood that they dispersed to different parts of the world. This is why traditions of all nations mention the flood of the early time. This is notwithstanding the fact that the actual event has increasingly been shrouded in mystery, and the authentic elements of the event overlaid with myth and legend. You have no other God than Him. It is evident from the above verse and from the Quranic descriptions of the people of Noah, peace be upon him, that they were neither ignorant of nor denied the existence of God, nor were they opposed to the idea of worshipping Him. Their real malady was polytheism. They had associated others with God in His Godhead and considered them akin to God in their claim that human beings should worship them as well. This basic error gave rise to a number of evils among them. There had arisen among them a class of people representing the false gods they themselves had contrived. Gradually, this class of people virtually monopolized all religious, economic, and political authority. This class also introduced a hierarchical structure of society which led to immense corruption and injustice. The moral degeneration which this system promoted sapped the roots of mankind's higher characteristics. When corruption reached a high peak, God sent Noah, peace be upon him, to improve the state of affairs. For long, Noah, peace be upon him, strove with patience and wisdom to bring about reform. All his efforts, however, were thwarted by the clergy, which craftily kept people under its powerful hold. Eventually, Noah prayed to God not to spare even a single unbeliever on the face of the earth, for they would go about misguiding human beings, and their progeny would likewise be wicked and ungrateful. For a detailed discussion, see Hud 11:25-48, Al-Shu'ara 26:105-22, and Nuh 71:1-28.
قال الملأ من قومه إنا لنراك في ضلال مبين.
The leading men of his people replied, We see that you are in palpable error.
قال يا قوم ليس بي ضلالة ولكني رسول من رب العالمين.
He said, O my people, there is no error in me, but I am a messenger from the Lord of the universe.
أُبَلِّغُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي وَأَنصَحُ لَكُمْ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ
I convey to you the messages of my Lord, give you sincere advice, and I know from Allah that which you do not know.
أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَن جَاءَكُمْ ذِكْرٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنكُمْ لِيُنذِرَكُمْ وَلِتَتَّقُوا وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ
Do you wonder that admonition should come to you from your Lord through a man from amongst yourselves, that he may warn you, that you may avoid evil, and that mercy may be shown to you, that he may warn you, that you may avoid evil, and that mercy may be shown to you. There were striking similarities between Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Noah, peace be upon him. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, received the same treatment from his people as did Noah, peace be upon him, from his. The message that each of them sought to preach was also the same. Likewise, the doubts and objections raised by the people of Muhammad, peace be upon him, with regard to his prophethood were the same as those raised by Noah's people, peace be upon him, several thousand years ago. Again, what Muhammad, peace be upon him, said in response to the doubts and objections raised against him were exactly the same as what Noah had said. The Quranic narration of the stories of the prophets makes it amply clear that the attitude of the nations to whom the prophets were sent had always been the same as that of the Meccans towards the message of Muhammad, peace be upon him. Apart from this, the accounts of the various prophets and their people display the same striking resemblances. Likewise, the Prophet Muhammad's peace be upon him vindication of his teaching in response to the Meccans is identical with similar attempts by other prophets to vindicate their teachings. So doing, the Quran seeks to emphasize that in the same way as the error and misguidance of which men become victims have remained essentially the same throughout the ages, the message of God's messengers has also been the same in all places and at all times. Again, there is a striking resemblance in the ultimate fate of all those peoples who reject the message of the prophets and who persist in their erroneous and evil ways. This too has also been the same, namely, utter destruction.
فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ وَأَغْرَقْنَا الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا عَمِينَ
But they charged him with falsehood. Thereupon, we delivered Noah, peace be upon him, and those who were with him in the ark, and caused those who rejected our signs as false to be drowned. Surely, they were a blind folk, and caused those who rejected our signs as false to be drowned.
An uninitiated reader of the Quran may mistakenly conceive that the mission of each prophet to call his people to God would have finished after the few attempts they made in that connection. Some people might even entertain a rather simplistic image of their mission. It might be thought that a prophet would have suddenly risen and proclaimed to his people that he had been designated by God as a prophet. This would have been followed by the raising of objections to that claim. Subsequently, the prophet concerned would have explained the matter and might have removed their misgivings. The people would have stuck to their position, would have rejected the prophet's claims, and called him a liar. Whereupon God must have visited that people with punishment. The fact of the matter, however, is that the Quran has narrated in just a few lines a story that was worked out over a long period of time. The brevity of the Quranic description owes itself to the fact that the Quran is not interested per se in storytelling, that its narration and purpose are didactic. Hence, while recounting a historical event, the Quran mentions only those fragments of the event which are relevant, ignoring those details which are irrelevant to Quranic purposes. Again, at different places in the Quran, the same event is mentioned for a variety of reasons. On every occasion, only those fragments of the story which are relevant to a specific purpose are mentioned and the rest are left out. An instance in point is the above narrative about Noah, peace be upon him. In narrating Noah's story, peace be upon him, the Quran aims to point out the consequences attendant upon the rejection of the Prophet's message. Since the total period spent on conveying the message does not have any direct relationship with that purpose, the Quran altogether ignores it here. However, in passages where the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the companions have been asked to remain patient, the long duration of the Prophet Noah's missionary effort, peace be upon him, has been mentioned. This has been done precisely with a view to raising the morale of the believers and to prevent them from feeling low because they did not see any good results coming out of that struggle. By mentioning how Noah, peace be upon him, strove patiently for such a long period of time and in the face of discouraging circumstances is quite relevant in this context as it helps to teach the lesson which is intended. That lesson is to persist in serving the cause of the truth and to refuse to be daunted by the adversity of the circumstances. See Al-Ankabut 29:14. It would be appropriate to remove at this stage a doubt which might agitate the minds of some people. For one frequently reads in the Quran accounts of nations which rejected their prophets and charged them with lying. One also reads about the prophets warning them of God's punishment, and then about its sudden advent, scourging the nation and totally destroying it. This gives rise to the question, why do such catastrophic incidents not take place in our own time? Nations still rise and fall, but the phenomenon of their rise and fall is of a different nature. We do not see it happen that a nation is served with a warning and is then totally destroyed by a calamity such as an earthquake, a flood, a storm, or a thunderbolt. In order to understand this, it should be remembered that a nation which has directly received God's message from a prophet is treated by God in a different manner from nations which have not witnessed a prophet. For if a nation directly witnesses a prophet, an embodiment of righteousness, and receives God's message from his tongue, it has no valid excuse left for rejecting that message. And if it still rejects the message, it indeed deserves to be summarily punished. Other nations are to be placed in a different category, since they received God's message indirectly. Hence, if the nations of the present time are not visited by the devastating punishments which struck the nations of the prophets in the past, one need not wonder since prophethood came to an end with the advent of Muhammad, peace be upon him. One should indeed have cause to wonder if one saw the opposite happen, that is, if the nations of the present were visited by punishments from God which had afflicted those nations that rejected their prophets face to face. This does not mean, however, that God has ceased to inflict severe punishments on nations which turn away from God and are sunk in ideological and moral error. The fact is that God's punishments still afflict different nations of the world. These punishments are both minor and major. Minor punishments are aimed at warning those nations, and the major ones are of a much more serious character and cause considerable damage. However, in the absence of the prophets who are wont to draw attention to moral degeneration as the basic cause of these calamities, the historians and thinkers of our time only scratch the surface and explain these in terms of physical laws or historical causes. These sophisticated explanations are of little help. On the contrary, nations so afflicted with heedlessness and moral stupor are thereby further prevented from appreciating that God has always warned evil-doing nations against following their evil ways, and that when they willfully disregard these warnings and adamantly stick to their erroneous ways, he ultimately inflicts disastrous punishments upon them.